Well, welcome again to Sanctuary. While the kids are making their exit this morning, I'm Pastor Debbie Moreland. I welcome you from the bottom of my heart to a special place consecrated by God to be able to be here on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, worshiping God, to be able to keep our eyes fixed on Him, the author, the perfecter of our faith, the one that has gone before us to prepare a place for us, the one that we truly worship from the top of our head to the bottoms of our feet, because He is worthy. Amen. This is a special place. This is a sacred space. This is a safe place. And I just want to reinforce that, a safe place. We don't have all the answers. We don't profess that we do. But we definitely want to make a place where you can engage with others in your faith journey, where you can grow, where you can ask questions, where we can discover together God's plan and purpose in your life, where we can receive healing from what might have gone on in our lives before. This is a special place, a safe place. And I want to welcome you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So before we move on to our sermon this morning, I just wanted to welcome all the guests here to this morning. Just welcome. I'm glad you're here. So glad you're here. Welcome. We have a special guest this morning. This is part two. So if you weren't here last week, you missed part one, and that's okay. But if you're here for part two, we have a very special couple in our midst this morning, Ethel and Russell Grant. And if they would just both wave, because I know Pastor Grant gets to come up and speak. But they're a very special couple to me. And I think to my husband, too, as well. We met them back at the Aspenham Community Church, if not before then. But got to serve in ministry with them back at that church before we moved on to Fitchburg. And it was a blessed time for me to be able to witness how somebody could just love on people regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how they were treated. They just loved on people because they're called to love, right? We're all called to love. We love because He first loved us. And so they exemplify what it looks like to love people. And I'm just honored that they're here. I'm honored that they're willing to serve us here at Sanctuary, and especially for Reverend Russell Grant to be able to bring a special word this morning that's just for you, just for this time and this Sunday. And I'm excited to hear him this morning. So please give him a warm round of applause, Reverend Grant.
Good morning. This is Friendship Sunday, and we feel right at home because we're a friend of many of you beautiful people, and it's always good to build on friendships. And so we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. Our text this morning is Jesus, your friend. And there's a lovely lady that I'm going to ask to come up and kind of interview, because Jesus became her personal friend, and I'd like to hear. I have not heard it. I'd like to hear it this morning, to how Jesus came into her life and became her personal friend. Heather Weber, would you come up, Heather? Now, this is not rehearsed. She has never done this. I've never done this with her before, so just bear with us, all right? Now, Heather, where were you brought up?
In Ashby.
In Ashby?
Yep.
You're at home, huh?
I am.
Good girl. All right. Are you married?
I am.
Do you have any children?
Two.
Two children. Okay. Now, Jesus became your friend personally in your life. And what were the circumstances around your life when Jesus came into your life?
Okay. So I've actually been saved twice. The first time was more out of necessity to get married to my husband. But then about a year ago, after coming to this church, I decided that I was really ready to make the commitment myself, and I made the decision myself that it was time to be saved again and welcome the Lord into my life more for me than out of necessity. And I did that last year at a home group with Pastor Debbie, and it was awesome.
Let me just ask you one question. When you asked the Lord this last time into your life, did you sense anything, or have you felt anything since then?
So I always thought it would be something right away that I would feel change. And honestly, I didn't feel it right away. It kind of took a little bit of time. I thought there would be like this big thing that happened, and it didn't. It was more like a inner kind of peace that happened. And for a long time, I had suffered from anxiety, and it got to the point where it was really, really bad that my husband and I didn't do anything. Going to work even was hard. And I've just noticed slowly over time that it's gotten so much better. And now I'm standing here in front of you guys. And it's just, I find that if my husband and I are faced with a problem, or if I'm faced with a problem, that I don't, I guess, freak out anymore. It's just, I ask God, and I know he's going to help us through whatever problems come our way. And it's, I find it, I guess life's more a little easygoing now. It's I know I have someone to trust, and that I know everything's going to turn out the way it's supposed to. And I guess the major thing in my life that happened was right around Thanksgiving last year, my kids and I were on our way home from work and from school, and we got into a really bad car accident. My car was actually totaled, but behind us there was an 18-wheeler. And they were so close behind us that I thought for sure that they were going to hit us and it was going to be over, but somehow they did not hit us. And I know the only way that happened was because God was looking out for us and he was protecting us that day, because otherwise I don't know if me and my kids would have been here talking to you today. So that was really the big event in my life that happened, that knows that God's looking out for us and that me and my family are safe.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Heather. All right. Is this thing working now? Am I on? It is green, but do I have to push it again? Is that okay? I can hear something. As long as you can hear me, that's all that counts. Thank you, Heather, for that. Is Jesus my friend? Is Jesus your friend? Does he feel that you're his friend? We're going to talk from the living word of God this morning, and we're going to hear from Jesus himself in a statement that I want to read to you in John chapter 15, verse 15. In fact, I hope you'll read before the day's over the whole chapter. John 15, 15. Talking to those that are following him. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your living word. Thank you, Jesus, for desiring to be our personal friend. Help us to grow in this relationship, Lord. Help us not just to hear words that come from your holy word, but help it to become a time in which, Lord, we take one step closer, one step nearer, one step deeper into our walk with you as friends. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our dear friend Webster defines friends as one who is personally known by oneself and has warm regard and affection. That's our friend Webster. Someone has said these words, and it can be repeated over and over again. A friend knows all about you and loves you just the same. A friend knows all about you and loves you just the same. My brother was talking to me one day, and we have a lot of cousins in Minnesota, and they do things together. They take trips. And he said, there's two things I want to say before we start this trip. One is that we are friends and we are relatives. And he said, there's one thing for sure when we're done with this trip that we will be, and that's relatives. So I hope that we have both friends and relatives here this morning, and that the friends doesn't end and stay relatives anyway. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's a very important word for us today. You feel you don't have friends? Maybe, just maybe, you're not being friendly enough. However, it doesn't stop there. Then he goes on to jump from that statement to what I consider a very spiritual statement. There is a friend. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Closer than a brother. Friendship is a close relationship that people have one with another. Now, you can probably name your friends. You may have a lot of them. However, I want to talk to you about Jesus becoming a more intimate friend to you and you to him. Friendship is always a two-way relationship if it's going to last. And therefore, we want to look at that when Jesus said, I call you friends. Now, because of all of us here this morning, we know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We may not fully grasp that. We might not have a good understanding of that. Jesus Christ as Lord. We live in democracy. We're free to go and come and do as we desire, whether it's right or wrong. He will not zap us if we do something wrong. He will not throw us out of our friendship relationship at times because we go and do something we want to do that maybe wouldn't please him. But there is a factor that is good for us to grasp as we talk about friendship. This friendship that we're talking about, this Jesus that wants to be our friend, is also our Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a very important factor for us to remember as we journey. Even the fact of in Matthew 9:4, it says, and Jesus knew their thoughts, and said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? So our wonderful friend this morning, Jesus Christ, knows our hearts. And he even knew the thoughts and the hearts of the people that were around him when he walked this earth. Now, having said all of that, Jesus proclaims and wants to be to us a more intimate friend. How does he do this? He does this by explaining who he is to us, for us to grasp as you and I walk this earth. I want to, after 50 years of preaching, I still want to know him better than I know him. Somehow I still want to discover more of this wonderful Jesus Christ that we're living for on this earth. There's much more of him for me to discover in this walk than I already know. And it's important that I continue to pursue that. But as I read his word, I am going to hear what he is saying about this friendship in relationship to being for us. And he wants to be this for us. In John 6:35, the first statement that he makes is very important for us. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. When I read that, I don't know how you read that, but when I read that, he's not talking, of course, about physical things. He does provide, and we need to trust him for that. And I've seen him do that over and over and over again in our lives, the natural things that he provides. But he's talking about an inner reality that he wants to be for our lives. He wants to be our main course. Bread in Jesus' day was the main course. You and I don't consider bread the main course. It's a side thing that we put with our meals. But in their day, it was the main course. Bread, if you had bread, you could stay alive and you could stay and remain healthy. So Jesus, knowing that when he was there, is trying to say to his friends, I want to be the main course in your life. Now, You may say, but you know, his ways might not be my ways, and I'm not sure I want to go that, get that deep into it, because it might cramp my style. I might be missing something somehow if I get into this too much. Jesus said these words that are so vital for us. He said, I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. There is no one on the face of this earth as your friend that wants you to be happier than you are. He loves you enough to help you in this relationship of friendship by being our source, hear this now, our source of divine strength, our source of divine help, our source of divine energy that he wants for us. He that believeth in me, I am the bread of life, shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. We have water here, access at all times. Anytime you need it, you can find it and have it. We don't think about thirsting. But in their day, thirst in a desert was the main thing. People could relate 100% to thirst in the desert because water was worth its weight in gold. And so Jesus is trying to say in the friendship relationship, he's trying to say, I want to help you with the thirst aspect of your life. Well, where is the thirst aspect? The thirst is an aspect of where your needs are. Thirsting is when you know you need drink. And so Jesus said, if you will allow me to be the bread of life, I will come to you and help you in the area of your need so that you can discover me as your friend helping you in this need. Now, I know you know these words, but they're so important for us to grasp in our journey. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What that's saying is that I will help you with your thirst. I will help you with your need. I will help you with your journey. I will help you with your walk. So when trouble comes or heartache comes or despair comes or disappointment comes, I want you to understand that you can take me into this walk, find divine energy and divine strength, and be yoked together with me. I am so thrilled to be the fact I love the yoke aspect of life. I was brought up on a farm and just young enough, 6-7 years old, when they still had horses as well as tractors. And I remember the two horses being yoked together. And I remember the big thing that went in between them after they were yoked together that would be hooked onto the plow or the disc or the harrow that the horses would pull. And as long as both of them were pulling together, everything worked fine. It was when one couldn't pull hard enough and the other one was weaker that you'd have trouble. Well, when Jesus says, I want to be yoked together with you, I don't know about you, but when I get yoked together and stay close to him, he's the one that's carrying the load. I can't do it. I can't do it in myself. But when I know that I'm hooked up with him and walk with him, then I know that I can go through this circumstance that I'm in and find and know him in ways that I've never known before. I've shared this with you before, but being a heart patient, I get a lot of sympathy. And sometimes I really have to say I don't like sympathy because I'm not dead yet. But anyway, when you're a heart patient, I had a minister came up to me after a church service and said, boy, you look pretty good for a guy who's had 12 heart attacks. And I thought, nah, I don't think I've had 12 heart attacks. But had a few, but not 12. And he was trying to be a complimentary person, but I didn't know if I took that as a compliment. I didn't have 12 heart attacks. But nevertheless, in that journey of our little world of heart, there's a relationship that you can have in knowing him that I've discovered that I could never have had any other way. So when we started going through these events that were not happy events, or were not easy events, we were able to yoke together with him, draw from him as the bread of life, and let him become our strength in that event so that we could become walking in a peace that we could never have had before. Never had before in our lives because of the events that happen in our lives. Jesus Christ became our bread. Here's another statement that Jesus wants to become for your life and mine as a friend. In John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the divine direction of the world. If I could ever help teenagers and young people, whether they're really teenagers or young people even in the Lord, to understand that if you allow Jesus to be your light, you'll allow him to show you the direction to go for your life, then you can discover that there is a way to work out every problem that you encounter. Jesus, I don't know the answer to this. I just need your direction. I need your light on the subject. I need to show me how to do this. How many times have we been able to share with our beautiful daughters when they call and say, what am I going to do? What else should I do? How should I do it? I say, you got to pray and say, Lord, you direct me, you show me, and he will show you. And one daughter called me one time and said, I don't know what we're going to do. We have to move and we have to go here and we have to do this, that, and the other. I said, just hold steady. Just hold steady. The Lord will direct you. He will give you divine direction. Well, you get the direction with light. You don't walk in darkness when you live and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 119, 105, I hope you know it. Thy word is a lamp. And I don't know if you've ever read this verse this way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. If you've ever had a lamp in the darkness to your feet, in order to walk safely, you put the light down near the ground where you're stepping. So his word becomes, it gives us direction how we make one step at a time. But then it goes on to say, and is a light unto my path. It shows me forward. As I look forward, I got to find the path that's ahead of me. So he not only gives us divine step-by-step direction, but he not only gives us and shows us how to do it, but he also even shows us how we can look forward and walk with him as we journey through this life. What a wonderful friend we have, amen? Jesus Christ becomes our wonderful, wonderful friend. John 1:4, John said these words, in him was life, and he was the light. He was the light of men. He became the light for you and I as we follow him. So Jesus is our personal friend. He wants to direct us in our lives. The Lord is my light in Psalm 27:1, and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. The psalmist that said that said also these words when he was ready and thinking the next morning that he was going to die. He felt he was in a cave, Psalmist David, and it had to be the end. There was nowhere to go but forward out of the cave, and the enemy was there, and he was going to be destroyed. And so what did he say? Did he say, this is it, we're done for, it's over? No, he said, thy loving kindness, Lord, your loving kindness is better than life. Your loving kindness, Lord, is better than life. Have you discovered Jesus and his loving kindness for your life? Because he wants to be that in your heart and in your life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. John said, his way is the light. Psalms said that as well. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To me, this is a very general statement. But if you take it piece by piece and say, Lord, what way do you want me to handle this problem? What way do you want me to handle this event in my life? See, I really believe if you really let Jesus lead your life and become your personal friend, I really believe that you can have divine moments where you see his wonderful hand on your life, his wonderful guidance for your life, his wonderful direction for your life. And I don't mean direction to say I'm called to go to Africa or called to go to China or go to be a missionary or whatever. I'm talking about daily, hourly, moment by moment, on the job, in the home, in the family, in the darkness of the night, in the times when troubles really rage. Jesus Christ wants to help us with divine moments, I call it, in his walk with us. And he wants to say, there's a way to handle this. There's a way to handle encounters in relationships, in marriage, in home, in children problems, all the rest. There's a way to do it. And then there's also a person that has to love truth. Truth is something that you face, whether it's positive or negative, but you have to accept it as for what it really is. And Jesus is the truth. So when you let him guide your life, he will direct you in your life. Matthew 11:28. These words that are read so many times. Come unto me, all you that labor, and I've read that to you. Then he went on to say these words. When he says, I will give you rest, it means to be refreshed or to be renewed in your life. Join with me instead of take my yoke. Learn of me means to receive me into your life. For I am meek and lowly and gentle of heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. These past few years, I've been praying more for when I pray for a person. I pray for their soul. Now, there's more to life, if you want to categorize it, than soul. You think soul is spiritual. Soul is something that, you know, we put over here, and then we got our life to live and our job and our family and relationships over here. But we have a soul, and therefore we know our soul's eternal, and therefore we have to accept that. But I believe with all my heart that if the soul can keep its walk with Jesus as their friend and allow him to be that friend of the soul, that he directs the rest of our lives. Because the soul means the heart, the soul means the mind, the soul means the innermost you in your life. And so we can find direction for our lives. The truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father. So, challenging question this morning. Is Jesus is saying, how much of a friendship do you have in your walk with Jesus? Is he your most important friend? Is he able to come into your life with such a most important factor that he has authority in your life? Can he direct your life? Can he be the bread of life? Can he be the lamp and the light for your life? Or is it just, this is what I believe and this is what I have and all the rest? Before I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I had a religion. I went to church. I even sang in the choir. But I had never really knew him. He wasn't my friend. Never had a personal walk with him until somebody shared with me that you can turn your life over to Christ and allow him to come into your heart. And you can begin to love him and begin to discover he's the most wonderful friend any human being could ever have on this earth. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? And while our heads are bowed for just a moment, there's a word that comes to my mind that I want to talk about in just a minute, and then we're going to pray. It's called renew. There are times to renew your friendship. We just had, as you know, while your heads are bowed, we just had and celebrated our 50th anniversary, in which my brothers, two brothers and sisters, came from out of state, and we had a reunion. And our prayer was for them. They haven't, to my knowledge, a personal walk with the Lord. But my prayer was that, Lord, I want to renew our friendship. We've never had bad relationships, never had fights or arguments in our lives as we've grown up together. But I said, Lord, I want to get closer to them. I want to renew our relationship with them. When they come out for our anniversary and we celebrate 2 or 3 days after that together. And I saw the wonderful hand of God draw us closer and closer together as we were with each other. And I saw the hand of God help us to renew our friendship. However, the challenging question this morning for us is there a need in your life and in your heart for a renewal of your friendship with Jesus? Is it time in your life where it's time to say, Lord, I need to let you in to be the bread, to be the light, to be the pathway? to be the burden bearer, to take the yoke that's on my neck. I need to let you do, I need to renew my commitment to you, Jesus, as my friend. Anyone here this morning with our heads bowed? This is a small group, and I know it's personal, but here we are together before the Lord. Anyone here say, Pastor Grant, I feel there's a tugging at my heart to renew my friendship with Jesus Christ. Would you just raise your hands out and pray for me? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God sees your hand. So you're just saying, Lord, here I am. You're not confessing to me. You're saying, Lord, here I am. I need to renew my friendship with you, Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else want to renew my friendship with you? This is a moment in which we can do this as friends together. Precious Jesus. God's tugging at your heart. I can assure you this morning that as you renew your friendship with Jesus, you mean it from your heart, mean it from your innermost being, that you'll discover him. You'll know him better. You'll grow to love him more because he loves you so much. Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. And all he wants to do is renew a friendship with you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. If you feel like it, if you'd just like to stand, if you raise your hand, you don't have to, but if you would, say, Lord, here I am. Just stand before the Lord. Nobody's going to come over and talk to you or whatever, but just stand where you are. I want to renew my friendship with you, Jesus. I want you to move into my life and become my Lord and direct my life. Anyone else like just feel like if there's a tug, nobody's going to ask you what's going on. That's between you and the Lord. But if you just want to raise your stand, you can do that before the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your name. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name. It's been said a million times that people that Jesus called out, whether it was Peter or disciples, he always said, just follow me. Come and follow me. Peter, stop fishing and follow me. Matthew, stop collecting taxes and follow me. Whoever you are, just follow me. Direct your life. Give your life strength and purpose. And so if we could, for just a moment, those of you that are standing, if you just come and stand at this carpet here, would you do that with me? And others can come as well and just come and stand here. And we're going to pray together. And anyone else that wants to come, just come and just stand here for just a moment. We're going to pray together. Pastor Debbie to come and pray with us. And those of you that are seated, would you stand together and we're going to pray together a commitment with these people. And maybe, just maybe, somebody out there, you're there, you're afraid to come. But God's dealing in your heart. Say, this is a time in my life where I need to let Jesus come in. I want to renew my friendship with Jesus Christ. Would you pray this prayer with me, those that are standing here, as well as those that are standing there? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I know, Lord, that I've failed you. I know, Lord, that I have sinned. And I come to you now, Lord Jesus, and ask you to forgive me of my sins. And to cleanse me from my sin. I invite you into my heart. I want to begin to love you more. Help me, Jesus, follow you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor Debbie?
Is it raining outside yet? Oh, Heavenly Father, we have consecrated this place to do your work, to engage with you, to meet with you, to allow you to do what only you can do. Heavenly Father, we know that we are weak in our own strength, but that through you, God, we are mighty. We are overcomers. We are victorious. We are transformed. We are renewed. We are made clean. We are new creatures in Christ. I thank you, God, that you do only what you can do, and that we just need to be willing to receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this altar time, this time of precious moments, just releasing everything unto you this morning. I pray, God, that this has been a time of transformation, of renewal, of change, that we leave here different than the way that we came in this morning. So I pray your blessing upon each and every one that's gathered here, God. Continue to encourage them and walk with them, keeping them on the straight path, the narrow path. Keep us safe, O Lord. We pray your protection upon each and every one gathered here as they travel and as they come and they go. And we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.